Just off the highway to Rochester, Minnesota, twilight bounds softly forth on the grass, and the eyes of those two Indian ponies darken with kindness. They have come gladly out of the willows to welcome my friend and me. We step over the barbed wire into the pasture where they have been grazing all day alone. They ripple tensely. They can hardly contain their happiness that we have come. They bow shyly as wet swans. They love each other. There is no loneliness like theirs. At home once more, they begin munching the young tufts of spring in the darkness. I would like to hold the slenderer one in my arms, for she has walked over to me and nuzzled my left hand. She is black and white. Her mane falls wild on her forehead, and the light breeze moves me to caress her long ear, that is delicate as the skin over a girl's wrist. Suddenly, I realize that if I stepped out of my body, I would break into blossom. James Wright, A Blessing. Chapter 1. The Parkade. There are so many evils that pull on our children. Even in the mellow town of Lansdale, where it is easy to see only beauty and decency, a teenager died nearly every year after a party, and kids routinely went from high school to psych wards, halfway houses, or jail. Once a year, a child from the county of Marin jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. Elizabeth Ferguson looked around at the Saturday morning comings and goings of townspeople and saw parents who had lost or were losing their kids. Kids who had lost or were losing their minds. She and James sat with their coffee and newspapers on the wide steps of the parkade, which was what everyone in town called the parking bay in the center of town, making it seem a lot more festive than it was. It was a big parking lot that abutted the boulevard that ran from Sausalito to Olema on the Pacific coast, but several feet higher than the town's original crossroads, so that you had to climb up steps to reach it and drive slightly downhill to exit. A bean-shaped lot for 80 cars, it was ringed in skinny trees and foliage, lavender rhododendrons whose blooms wouldn't last much longer as spring faded, and geraniums. There was a bus kiosk on the north side and two weathered sets of concrete steps, the one where Elizabeth and her husband sat reading, another at the far end across from the movie theater. She and James were waiting for her daughter, whom they were going to take shopping in town if she ever arrived. Rosie needed notebooks and some summer tops for her last weeks as a junior at the local high school, and shops fanned out below the parkade, stretching almost to the northern face of Mount Tamalpais. But Rosie was nowhere in sight. Elizabeth felt large and worried. Even sitting down, she was taller than her husband, and her otherwise dark, thick hair was slightly more gray-streaked. But Rosie was taller than either, almost 5'11", black-haired, strapping, and fabulous, except when they wanted to disown her, like now. James read the paper in vexed silence, and Elizabeth sipped her coffee and watched people go about their business. A tidal feeling ebbed and flowed around them, of people on foot, shopping or going back to their cars. You never knew for sure who would be there, someone you'd been missing or were trying to avoid. Two teenage boys took their spots on the bottom steps. Their pose was a flop that said, "I've arrived and I'm not moving." Others stepped past them to get to their cars or up to the boulevard. Over by the bus kiosk, there was a sense of marketplace transactions among the high school kids, punk, funk, hippie, straight, of intrigue, nonchalance, commerce, boredom, opportunity. On the main street, people dropped off DVDs and videos, stopped to chat, ducked into the liquor store, flirted, picked up after